listening to Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Welcome to New Earth Kids, a radio show featuring kids who care about their community and the environment in which they live. On this monthly show, kids of all ages talk about the challenges facing planet Earth, and we tell you how we are creating and implementing solutions. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series and airs the third Monday of the month at 10 a.m. and is replayed on the air the following Sunday at 4 p.m. New Earth Kids is produced by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain, for Gila Members Community Radio. Thinking on a Mountain equips kids with the knowledge and skills to navigate an uncertain future while addressing climate justice issues. And now, New Earth Kids.
When I tell people, oh, well, I'm working doing this and I'm composting like elementary school kids' lunches, they're like, whoa, that's super cool, that's super awesome. And meeting different scientists from around the world and seeing all the different directions this project could go, I'm super interested to see all the different things that happen in the future when I'm off in college, and I think it's just such an awesome project.
One of the biggest things that I learned was just how much wasted food comes out of the schools. Like, when I first collected a year ago, it just was crazy to me, you know? It was like over 100 pounds of food. And a lot of the food was brand new. It had not been eaten yet, and these kids just did not eat it.
The importance of composting, and a lot of people don't really realize how easy it is. I mean, the bioreactors we're building, the Johnson Sioux, those are slightly more complicated, but honestly, anybody can make a compost pile. And I didn't really realize that.
I actually had learned about the Johnson Sioux compost beforehand with Mike Fugali and Caroline Fugali. And so it just kind of really aligned with what I had been doing beforehand. And Mike and Caroline offered me the job. So I just kind of tested it out, and I really liked it, and I feel like it's something important.
I'm particularly interested in conservation and ecology, and that's a main goal of this project is regenerative agriculture and restoring depleted soils. So that's really relevant to what I'm studying.
So I think not only our project gives the youth confidence in their actions and the way that they're thinking, but they also know that we really care about them and we really care about their future, and we want to do everything that we can to help them so that they're more comfortable and have a better life for themselves.
Today on New Earth Kids, we talk with the youth and directors of the New Earth Project, a climate mitigation program that focuses on food security, education, and environmental justice. Administered by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, the New Earth Project empowers youth by providing meaningful jobs within a framework that has the potential to regenerate thousands of acres of degraded agricultural fields, forest soils, and rangelands while drawing carbon from the atmosphere. The New Earth Project is building and filling 100 Johnson Sioux bioreactors per year for the next 2 years, using food surplus from local school cafeterias and woody biomass. We will hear about their composting process, how the project impacts the community, and how it's affecting the lives of local youth. And now, New Earth Kids.
My name's Joshua Estrada.
And how old are you, Josh?
I'm 18.
And what are you doing here in the Harrison Schmidt Cafeteria?
Collecting food for the New Earth Project for our Johnson Sioux compost.
How often do you guys do this?
Every day during school hours.
And what does doing this job involve?
Talking with the kids and making sure that no plastic gets inside of our bins. Being here on time and being friendly and nice and representing New Earth.
How do the kids do with separating their garbage from their food?
For the most part, they do really good. Sometimes there's just packets or a piece of plastic underneath their food. The younger ones struggle a little bit, and I feel like that's why we're just here to kind of moderate it a little bit.
Why are you working with the New Earth Project?
Well, I go to a school called Aldo Leopold Charter School, and I was part of the Eco Monitors beforehand. And with the Eco Monitors, I actually had learned about the Johnson C. compost beforehand with Mike Fugali and Caroline Fugali. And so it just kind of really aligned with what I had been doing beforehand. And Mike and Caroline offered me the job. So I just kind of tested it out, and I really liked it, and I feel like it's something important.
What kind of impact do you think this project has on the community?
I think it's really important for the kids to see what we're doing as they're growing up. A lot of them already talk to me about compost, and also the teachers here at the school talk to me about the compost that they have going on at home. So I think it's really influencing them to not be as wasteful as they maybe were before. And just they're helping out as well as what we're doing. I think the most important skill I've learned since I'm a little bit younger is communication is key. Really, really talking with your bosses, or communicating when you can't be there or what needs to be done, is really important.
Josh, what are your biggest concerns about the future of our planet and humankind?
Definitely to make ourselves not go extinct. I think the fight for resources is kind of the biggest issue, and global warming. And I think we need a way to sequester the carbon from the atmosphere and really make sure we have a sustainable future and that humans continue on living.
What is the most important thing about the New Earth Project that you want our listeners to know?
I would say just how great and loving and smart Nan, Mike, and Carol Ann are, and with the project, and just as people, they're really great, and I love them.
Thank you so much, Josh. We really appreciate you, and thank you for all your hard work, and look forward to lots more time together.
Yeah, thank you, Nan.
I'm here on San Vicente Farm with the New Earth Project, and I'm going to talk with Maya. Maya, what are you doing?
So I'm grinding food right now. We're grinding beans and corn from tacos today.
And why are you doing that?
So we have to grind up the food in order for it to be processed in the bioreactor.
Why does it have to be ground?
It's a lot easier for the bioreactors to break down the food and turn it into really awesome, yummy compost if we grind it up. And it shortens the process a lot, and it also makes it easier for us to mix it with the wood chips that we use and the biochar that is in the bioreactors.
Do you know what might happen if you didn't grind the food up, if you just put it in whole?
It might go anaerobic, which is not what we want, and we wouldn't be able to use anything from that bioreactor if it did go anaerobic.
I see. So there might be pockets where there won't be enough air to host the microbes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm working with the New Earth Project because I think it's a really interesting thing to be involved with, especially at my age. I really like working to kind of improve the climate in general. I already work a different job with the environment, and I also want to go into a science-related field. So I think studying it all and doing really awesome work is super fun and super interesting.
Nice. And you're a senior at Aldo Leopold?
Yes, I am.
And what are you going to do after you graduate?
I am going to go to UC Santa Cruz and study marine biology.
So what are you doing now?
So I am breaking up apples and other fruit like pears and kiwis. I'm doing that because our garbage disposal, which we put the food through, is not the highest tech. So it gets overheated pretty quickly, and it can get jammed also. And so we have to break up bigger chunks of food in order to help it not overheat so we can grind all of our food.
So you're breaking up the whole fruit with this really interesting contraption. Where did that come from?
One of my coworkers actually welded it. It's a little metal thing, and you kind of just chop up the fruit with it.
Cool. Maya, how much did you know about composting or soil regeneration
before you worked with the New Earth Project?
So I actually knew a pretty good amount just because I have worked with Mike Fugali for quite some time, and he knows a lot about that. He's super interested in it. So we have done different projects through YCC involving compost, and I've just learned a lot about like microbiology, and it's super fun and super interesting to me.
What kind of impact do you think the work that you're doing will have on the community?
So I think the impact is already starting to become pretty pretty big. When I tell people, oh, well, I'm working doing this and I'm composting like elementary school kids' lunches, they're like, whoa, that's super cool. That's super awesome. And meeting different scientists from around the world and seeing all the different directions this project could go, I'm super interested to see all the different things that happen in the future when I'm off in college. And I think it's just such an awesome project, and it has having such a great impact on this community, and I'm hoping that it'll go to many, many other communities very soon.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big goals of the New Earth Project, is to sort of create a template so that other people can do something similar.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm super happy to be part of that template.
Maya, what concerns do you have for the future of the planet and humankind?
Well, I mean, there's an endless list of those things. I guess as a person going into the field of marine biology, definitely looking at ocean health is super concerning. It's a super crucial part of how our planet functions, and seeing all the different things going on to the loss of all the coral reefs and the overfishing and all the pollution, it's really concerning. And it's definitely something, obviously, that I want to learn more about and be more involved in. So I'm super excited to kind of take that next step. But yes, I'm definitely concerned about a lot when it comes to the future of our planet.
Well, thank you so much for all your work, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you do next.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I'm Dara, and I'm 15, and I'm homeschooled, but I take a lot of classes at Western.
Hi, I'm Bodhi. I'm 19, and I am a senior at Aldo Leopold.
What kinds of jobs are you guys doing for the New Earth Project?
So primarily I helped construct the bioreactor shells, and then I also collect the food at the schools on Fridays, because that's the day that I have off, and then I also water the last year's bioreactors out in Santa Clara.
What's involved in building a bioreactor shell?
So the first thing is we use these metal cages. So you have to cut the wire to the size, and then there's an inside piece of cloth. It's like landscaping cloth that we cut to line the inside of that.
How long does it take you to build one?
On average, 1.5 to 2 hours. Mm-hmm.
And that includes the jacket that goes around the outside?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that does.
Dara, what do you do with the New Earth Project?
I don't build the bioreactor shells, but I do help fill them up, which is super fun, and I grind the food. I also go to some of the elementary schools and help them learn about composting and worms, because worms are very important.
How do you like working with the kids?
I love the kids. I mean, it's so fun to like see the way they're so interested in all of it, and they really do want to learn about it. A lot of people, you try to tell them about it, and they're like, yeah, it's okay. But when you're talking to little kids, they're like, tell me more.
And they love worms, right?
Oh, they love the worms. Well, some of them are grossed out, but most of them love the worms.
What do you think is unique about the New Earth Project?
I think one of the biggest things is that we're helping pull all the food waste out of the schools that would end up in the landfill. And we're turning that into a really nutrient-rich byproduct that can be used for everything from regenerating forests to helping grow food for the community.
And then, like, along with that, you're also providing jobs for a bunch of young people and some older people, and everybody gets, like, equal opportunities. And, like, for me, this is my first real job. And so everybody's been so helpful on teaching me, on, you know, how to do the paperwork. It's really helped me.
What is something important that you've learned since you started working with the New Earth Project?
I think the importance of composting, and a lot of people don't really realize how easy it is. I mean, the bioreactors we're building, the Johnson Sioux, those are slightly more complicated, but honestly, anybody can make a compost pile. And I didn't really realize that.
You are listening to KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and on the web at gmcr.org. This is New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series. New Earth Kids airs the third Monday of every month at 10 a.m. and the following Sunday at 4 p.m. Today, we are talking with the youth of the New Earth Project, a climate mitigation program administered by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. Let's return to the show to hear more about what these young people are doing to help create a healthy future for our community and our planet.
One of the biggest things that I learned was just how much wasted food comes out of the schools. Like, when I first collected a year ago, it just was crazy to me, you know? It was like over 100 pounds of food. And a lot of the food was brand new. It had not been eaten yet, and these kids just did not eat it. And, I mean, it could be just because the quality isn't that good or it's not the thing that they like, but it just surprised me because at my school, I haven't seen that much food waste.
Tell me about the bioreactors.
Well, the Johnson Sioux bioreactors are much more fungally dominated than bacterial, and so when you put that compost into dead soil, it really wakes it up, and it's super great for growing, you know, food and plants that usually require a little bit more nutrients.
Sometimes we say here that we're farming microbes because every reactor is basically just generating more life, right? Because we just put all that stuff in there and let it sit for a whole year. So Mike likes to say we're farming microbes. Do you guys have any favorite reactors or any reactor stories?
My favorite reactor is Manfred. And Mike told me the origin of that name was, he said, a pretty prestigious scientist came and he was talking to everybody and it was time to name one of the bioreactors. And he said, we should name it Manfred. So my favorite bioreactor is Manfred, not only because it was named by a scientist, but also because I found a mouse that lives in there. And I named him Manfred the Mouse, and he has a little house. Because the bioreactors go through these warm periods, and when we put the lid on top, I'm sure when it gets really cold out, the mouse likes to hang out in his little sauna.
For sure. Yeah, and he was adorable. I love the picture
so
you
cute.
Sent.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys, what is one of your biggest concerns for the future of the planet and for humankind?
I think we're producing a lot of things and there's a lot of talk about sustainability, and I feel like humans need to continue to learn how to be sustainable and regenerative, like, because with the constant producing of goods and all this and the plastic, and it's just like, I feel like our Earth's gonna fill up and we're not gonna know what to do. So just, you know, be more conscious about it. I think that's definitely something that people could work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think along the lines of what Dara said is, you know, we are kind of using a lot and we're not giving back that much. We're not really being Earth conscious. And so we're using up everything, and what's going to happen when everything is used up and there's nothing more to use?
Are there any other skills that you're learning through this work that you might use in the future?
Everybody who works, we're very team oriented, and the way, especially with bioreactor filling, it's a very, like, it's a system and everybody works together. And I think definitely working well with people has been a skill that I've gained from working here.
Yeah, I think there definitely has been some skills along, like, with Dara. This is also my first kind of like real job. I've had a couple other ones here and there, and I've done Youth Conservation Corps with Aldo, but this is the first one that's kind of out of school that, you know, I have to manage. And so I think scheduling and staying on top of stuff and learning how to remember and different habits, like building habits of, for my future, I think is definitely something I've really gained with this, especially like remembering what time I have to work, because it's always different each week. And so like putting that in my calendar and remembering has definitely helped me a lot.
It's always different each week because we have such a flexible schedule, which I love. And I mean, like, I appreciate that very much.
Good. What kind of impact will the work you're doing have on the community and the environment?
There's definitely a lot of impact that this project is having. We're not only teaching the kids in the schools about composting and about how important microbes are to the soil, but we're also creating compost that can help farmers grow food and help kind of localize production of vegetables, and then also helping regenerate the soil, because the Southwest is kind of, I think, definitely in some places we're known for not having the most nutrient-rich or healthy soil, and so kind of helping regenerate those the soils in different areas, I think, is really impactful.
Yeah, and I mean, emphasis on the regenerate, because, I mean, it feels like a system, like the food from the kids, which then turns into soil, which then hopefully we can grow some more food. And maybe the kids will actually eat it, because it'll be really yummy.
Bodhi and Dara, thank you both so much for talking with us today. It's a beautiful day, and I hope you enjoy it out here on the farm.
Thanks, Nan.
Thanks, Nan.
We're going to get back to work now.
Awesome.
My name's Michael. I'm a master's student at Western New Mexico University studying biology.
I'm Heather, and I'm a graduate of Aldo Leopold Charter School, and I've been working on this project for a few years.
My name is Matthew Chavez. I'm currently a sophomore at WNMU, and I am working on my pre-nursing requisites.
Hi, and I'm Mike Cigalli, and I'm one of the co-conspirators that started this program with Nan, Carol, and Chris, and others last year.
You guys are getting ready to fill a bioreactor, and I'm sure people are wondering what that means. What is a bioreactor?
A bioreactor is basically just a method of composting. So it's a cylindrical structure that we fill with the compostable materials. And it's different from other forms of composting because it doesn't have to be turned or like a compost tumbler where you're circulating the compost. It's a static system.
And what are advantages of having a static system?
The main advantage is you produce a fungally dominant compost, ideally, because when you're constantly turning the soil, it's breaking up the mycelial network of the fungus.
Can you guys talk about what goes in these reactors? And I mean, they're pretty big. They look to be about 4 feet in diameter, over 5 feet high. That's a lot of material.
Yeah, do you want me to start with that one? And give you a couple of the big numbers so you can get a feeling for the scale of it, I think. So each of the reactors, using sort of what we call our standard recipe, the one that we use most often and has been working for us in terms of temperatures and that sort of thing, they have 1,200 pounds of shredded woody biomass, preferably from things like climate smart forest thinning projects. And then we have about 600 pounds of food waste, or food surplus is maybe a nicer way to say it, but it's food that we gather each day from elementary schools and grind up and add the wood in mortar mixers. Each one also has a little bit of biochar or maybe even a little sheep manure in some of our newer ones. And so they're about 2,000 pounds each going in.
You guys fill a reactor just in a matter of hours. How do you do that? What's the process? It must be really streamlined for you to be able to do that in such a short amount of time.
It takes a team. Generally, there are 4 of us, and there's the process of mixing the food and the biomass so it gets wet, so it's not just sitting there dry. That wouldn't really do anything. And then I guess it's just kind of a steady rhythm of mixing the food and the biomass and the water and taking it up and pouring it into the cylinders, the bioreactors. It's pretty fun, you know, you get a good workout.
It sounds like the only things that require electricity are the garbage disposal for grinding the food And then the mortar mixer for kind of mixing it all up, because that requires kind of a heavy duty machine there. But then you guys do the rest by hand?
Let me say the only other electricity would also be the electricity needed to pump the water. The property here in the old Chinese gardens has a well that we're utilizing for our project.
Heather, you've been doing this for a while. How have you seen the project change over the time that you've been with the New Earth Project?
First of all, the change of sites. So we used to work at Gila Woodnet, and that was in Santa Clara, and now we work at the San Vicente Farms. So we have more land and a lot more space, and working on the bioreactors themselves, it's taken a while to fine-tune the process. There's been a lot of creativity on how to best transport the food mix to the bioreactors to fill them. A lot of that using buckets, but I think the biggest change would be how we mix it to the correct water level it needs to be. Before, we laid out on a grate and like stomped on it to get all the water out, and now I think that we've just gotten good enough at monitoring the water level during the mixing process that we just put it directly into buckets and then take them all to the bioreactors. Yeah, it's definitely been a process. We've had to work on it while it's raining, while it's snowing, while it was windy. And then getting a lot more people working on this project has been a big upgrade too. Just being able to work with a lot of people, everybody knows what they're doing, everybody's willing to help each other. That's positive change, which is just really good.
Matthew, why are you working with the New Earth Project?
Well, because you told me about it. Last time Nan interviewed me for my last interview with Kiana, it was really fun and I really enjoyed it. And after she told me about this other project she was working on, and she's like, yeah, it's called the New Earth Project, and she kind of described it, and I thought it sounded really cool. And so she handed me her little business card, and she wrote on the back the date of a meeting I had to attend if I wanted to, you know, learn more about it and everything. And I showed up, and it sounded really cool and something good to invest in. And I was like, why not, you know? And so now I'm here. I've been here since January 2024, and so I haven't been here terribly long, but it's been good for the most part.
You've been filling a couple bioreactors a week and grinding lots of food, so that's awesome. And Michael, you're a biology student. You're getting your master's. What have you learned that is relevant to your field of study through this project?
You know, my field of study, you know, biology, which is a very broad field, but I'm particularly interested in conservation and ecology. And that's a main goal of this project, is regenerative agriculture and restoring depleted soils. So that's really relevant to what I'm studying. And, you know, I've taken a lot of different classes focused on animals and plants and fungi and, you know, microbiology. So this sort of brings everything together, the fungi and the bacteria and the compost, and then using that as a nutrient source for growing crops. It all sort of ties it all together in a way.
Can you guys talk a little about the difference between sustainable and regenerative? Because you mentioned regenerative, Michael, and that's a big focus of this project. And so why are we talking more about regenerative agriculture than just sustainability?
You really dig into that one. And that's a pun, because when I think about digging, I think about the Lord of the Rings and how the dwarves dug a little too deep and let out a demon from the ancient world. And that's essentially what we've done here also. And so I just wanted to say a little bit about the necessity for this project. The idea, you know, again, this is a youth empowerment, employment project, but it's dealing with a very serious issue. And it's dealing with the fact that we globally are skyrocketing past a very dangerous limit right now of 1.5 degrees Celsius global average temperature rise. And we're well on our way to 2 degrees Celsius, which is a very high risk zone for irreversible broad-scale planetary change. I think the ethical issue of our day is intergenerational equity. And because we are now have put our young people and all future generations, we're gambling with their futures. And that certainly infringes on basic constitutional rights of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And this project is a project that is designed not to just worry about that, but to do something about it. This is a regenerative project because we dug too deep. We can't be sustainable at the point we're at because we're at a very unsustainable moment in time. To go back to sustainability, we have to look forward to restoring the planet. This is the age of restoration, and we all need to learn to think like a beaver.
I love that.
You are listening to New Earth Kids on Gila Membres Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Today, we are learning about how the New Earth Project empowers our local youth to take positive action to keep organic waste out of the landfill, create a microbial-rich amendment for soil restoration, and educate others about the importance of closing this gap in the food cycle to draw down carbon and fight climate change. Let's hear more from New Earth Kids.
So this project has been in the works for, gosh, how long now, Mike?
I think it's just about 2 years. I think we have just written our final report for the original CEC, Commission for Environmental Cooperation, proposal and grant that we received.
Okay, so over these 2 years, how many reactors have actually been built and filled?
We did 38 reactors at our pilot project site in Santa Clara, and I think we have about 22 of them constructed here now, so that's just about 60 overall, 36,000 pounds of food waste.
18 tons of food waste. All these reactors have names. Why do you name the reactors, and how do you come up with names for them?
I think it gives them a little bit of personality so that we know which one we're talking about. Like, if one of them needs to be watered more than the others, we could just say, like, Garfield needs to be watered today and not Raven. And then they're all labeled so we know which one's what. Process of how we name it. So that generally depends on the day that they're being built. It depends on kind of outside factors. So let's say if we were listening to a lot of Bob Marley that day, could be named like Bob.
What are some of the names of the reactors here at the farm?
Well, we have Dante. That one was made while we were making biochar.
Got really hot.
Yeah, it got really hot. And then there's Garfield. We made it on a Monday, which we everyone was really tired, so we thought that fitting. Raven, there were a bunch of ravens circling overhead. Those are just to name a few.
Matthew, I know you named a reactor recently. I think it definitely has the record for the longest name of all the reactors.
That's exactly what I wanted. So, I remember that filling day, nothing particularly stood out. Usually when naming bioreactors, we kind of evaluate how the day went. Maybe if it was like hot and muggy, or there was certain measurements that we kind of like to meet along the way when building bioreactors. Let's say we were right on or off track. Usually steps such as those kind of help us in determining the overall name and kind of describing our day and coming up with a name. And with that particular day, I believe everything kind of just went according to plan. And, you know, we didn't say much. It kind of was just, the day was going along fast. And we got to the part where we're like, oh, dang, we got to name it. And I was fresh out of ideas. I looked at Michael, and he had a blank stare. He was fresh out of ideas. And I was like, you know what, let me run an idea. And I asked Mike about it. I was like, can I give it a really, really long Spanish name? And he's like, go for it. And so me and Michael spent at least 20 to 25 minutes just going back and forth on a name. And I think we landed on Jose Castillo Santiago Hernandez de la Cruz Jr. And now I'm really proud of that one. I think the only thing, the name tag says 2014, so we have to amend that. But I don't know, I really like that one. I figured it needed some pizzazz.
So. Michael, do you have any kind of memorable reactors or filling experiences, or do you have a favorite name or reactor?
Well, I think my favorite name would have to be the one that Matthew just mentioned, because the two of us, you know, sat down and collaborated with that, looking up, you know, the record for the longest name in the world. And then, I don't know, another reactor that stands out to me, the first one that I worked on, and I just think the first one at this new site, is the one that we named Saya, after the senator who's been really helpful in getting grant money for this project.
Yes, she has been very supportive. And both Saya, the bioreactor, and the second one, Applesauce, have something growing in them. Does anybody know about that?
Yeah, let me tell you a little something about how that happened. And it goes back to the naming of the bioreactor, because up at the old site, I selfishly named one Lucy after my hometown hero, Lucille Ball, the redhead. And so that was one of the reactors that had a voluntary tomato start, cherry tomato, last year that we let go. And it was the first reactor that had ripened tomatoes. So indeed, there was a big redhead on the top of that reactor. And anyway, that gave us the idea that, you know, maybe we could use the top of these reactors as planting beds because they're free from a lot of the problems, weeds and rodents and other things that plague growers all over Grant County. So that's what we're doing this year. That's a little bit of the backstory behind that lettuce now growing in those.
And I remember the reactor Harrison, named for Harrison Schmidt, had a big sunflower. Beautiful sunflower growing out the top, probably from a seed from someone's lunch. What kind of impact will the work you're doing have on our community and the environment?
I mean, I think there's a lot of environmental and community impact. I mean, the obvious one is taking this food waste from schools that would normally just go into a landfill, and then using that to create something productive. And also that process is educating the students and everyone who works here just about the concept of food waste, and to be more aware of that. And yeah, taking something that would be trash and putting it through this fairly simple composting process to get a very valuable product that can be used to help regenerate damaged ecosystems.
What have you learned here that you think you could use in the future?
Well, I mean, I am going into nursing, so it's a little bit of a different story. I mean, I do have to submit invoices every month, so I did learn how to do that. As far as my actual experience from building the bioreactors, filling them, I've done food grinding. They're not necessarily specific things I could take, but in a more like broad aspect, there is like a fair bit of like communication and understanding of certain projects and where everything's going. I think overall, when we're talking about a project like this, we can't necessarily approach it from a blind angle. You know, when you're talking to your coworker or you're asking Mike here about it, and he's telling you, you need to kind of have some understanding of what we're gonna do and what things are gonna look like before they get done. And I feel like it's kind of our job to kind of picture something or maybe project our ideas and see how things are going to go. And then if things go wrong, we kind of, you know, adjust. But I kind of like what I'm doing here. You know, it's very nice. I, you know, the people here are lovely. And I think this overall work experience just kind of helps us maybe round off how we collaborate as a team and how we could work well with others.
You guys have helped us learn so many things over the past 2 years, you know, so none of us had any idea what we were doing when we started. We learned so much in each of the tasks that we have here, the streamlined process that allows us to fill a bioreactor in just a couple of hours now with 4 people. And we've been to plenty of workshops where the same labor involves 8 to 10 people for an entire day. And so I think I'm really proud of this crew and their ingenuity and creativity to have kind of got this to a point where it makes sense for us economically, and it's just so efficient.
Good. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for talking with me about this. And I know you need to get to work filling your reactor. Thank you so much.
You are listening to New Earth Kids on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. New Earth Kids is sponsored by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain. Thinking on a Mountain gives rise to the voices of youth in our community in Southwest New Mexico. Today, we are visiting with youth on the New Earth Project crew. And next, we'll hear more about how food surplus is collected from a local school cafeteria and witness firsthand kids separating their food waste from garbage. When explaining the composting process to elementary school students, New Earth staff focus on the redworms that are added to the bioreactors to further diversify and enrich the finished microbial amendment. Because after all, who doesn't love worms?
Hi, my name is Willow Sprague Robinson, and I am 17 years old.
And where do you go to school, Willow?
I go to Aldo Leopold Charter School.
So, we'll take that kiwi. Willow, why are you working with the New Earth Project?
I really wanted to find a way to like get involved with the elementary school students in the school setting. And I work with them in a summer camp setting, but I think it's important that they remember that sustainability can be something that they can incorporate in their lives year-round.
Can you describe the job that you're doing today?
Yes, so we're at Stout Elementary's cafeteria, and we have a counter set up with 2 holes and 2 trash bins that are filled with biodegradable bags that we have the kids sort their like discarded lunch trays into. They put plastic and like cardboard in the trash, and then they put unopened things in something that we call the share bin, and then they put everything that the worms can eat in these compost bins. I think that helping kids realize that their food is part of a larger system than just when they get it in the cafeteria line, and helping them become aware of where the food comes from and then where it goes after they discard it is really important. So I think that's how it's making a difference, and bringing the sustainability into like their daily lives and helping them see how it can make a difference in their community.
Do the kids ever ask you what you're doing?
They do, yeah. A few kids thought that this was going to chickens, so I had to correct them. And they like to talk about the worms and imagine what the worms like to eat out of their lunch trays and stuff like that. So they definitely do ask about it.
What have you learned since you began working with the New Earth Project?
The first thing that comes to mind is how oranges are antibiotic. So I've learned that they do not promote decomposition in soil, which was really interesting to me, but it kind of makes sense because they're such like a fresh citrusy fruit. I've learned so much. Learning about the entire process and has just been really amazing, just to see the look on kids' faces as they're like calculating how to sort their trays, and then that very same day taking the food, the compost, and putting it through a grinder in a sink in the middle of San Vicente Farms, and then later that week or something filling the bioreactors with wood chips and ground up compost, and then taking the temperatures of those bioreactors and like marking them down on a chart has been really cool, just to see that whole process and then talk to Carol Ann about where that compost is going and how it's going to promote growth of vegetables to go to food pantries and stuff. So.
Kind of full circle, right?
Yes, definitely.
Hello. Hi.
Do you know what to do?
Not really.
All right. So anything that you can eat, the worms can eat.
Wait.
That goes in the compost.
Yep.
Because if you took a bite out of it, then no one else, human at least, can eat that. But the worms can, and they'll really like it.
And will you turn it into for soil, for flowers, and worms?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly where it goes.
What have you learned while working with the New Earth Project that you might use in the future?
For myself as a career, I want to go into sustainable architecture and specifically making affordable, sustainable architecture that's more accessible for rural communities and becoming more involved in underserved communities in that way. And I think more than just like creating architecture that's available, just creating more infrastructure for like environmental practices in rural communities is something I want to focus. And New Earth has really showed me how you don't need any fancy like machines, or you don't need a ton of money to have real impactful education and real practices that can give back to the community at the same time as like using a resource that otherwise would just be thrown away. So I think that's something that's really inspired me and just shown me how overcomplicated these things have been and how simplified they can be.
Nice.
Did you eat this?
Did you bite it?
Thank you very much for composting. Whoops! Hold on, no plastic. There we go. Thank you. So you know where that food's going?
To the worms.
That's right, to the worms.
Have you ever had a worm? Yeah? A little bit slimy.
But it was an earthworm.
Thank you.
Thank you for composting.
Thank you.
You mentioned that you want to apply some of the things you've learned to a career in architecture. Can you be a little more specific?
Yeah, definitely. So basically, in my mind, I want to design like not so much public infrastructure, which does kind of go against like what I've learned here, but I want to make like housing more accessible for like everyday people, not people who are paying millions of dollars to have this beautiful home constructed on the edge of an ocean or something. I think my experiences growing up here have inspired that, and I did about a year ago I did an internship with a local contractor who rents out apartments here, and working on those apartments, just maintenance and stuff like that, it really made me see how there's a population who can't afford a lot of, I guess, sustainability. So in my head, I think sustainability and as a cultural thing has been, I guess, made to seem like something that you have to be very rich or very informed to practice in your daily life. And I think the more that we weave environmental awareness and environmental infrastructure into the workings of our society, the more accessible and the more practiced it can be.
Yeah, more commonplace.
Yes.
That's so great. Well, thank you so much, Willow, and good luck with all your plans, and congratulations on graduating this year.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Nan. Thank you.
I'm down on San Vicente Farm with the New Earth crew, and I'm going to talk with Sunny. Hi, Sunny.
How are you doing, Nan?
I'm good. Thank you. Looks like you're busy here.
I am, very.
What are you doing?
Right now, I'm just watering and taking temps at the same time. So I'll go in between. I'll throw the temperature gauges in the bioreactor and give them a few minutes to settle. And in that time, I'll be watering the other reactors, and so that I'm not just standing around doing nothing, waiting for the temperature.
I see 9 thermometers in this bioreactor. Why so many?
We just want them to be able to read every single layer. They want them to be really close together, and so we get a very accurate reading, because if we had so few, then they'd be very spaced apart and we wouldn't get as accurate of a reading as we wanted.
So you get different temperatures all through the reactor?
Yes, absolutely. We get a whole bunch of different temperatures. Some of them will be from 80 up to 160.
Wow. What does it mean when the temperature's really high like that?
So why the temperatures get so high like this, or can rise so high, is because there's microorganisms living inside of these reactors, and when they move around, they create friction. And so this friction is what causes these temperatures to get so high.
Do they stay high, or do they eventually go down?
They eventually go down, especially on the lower levels of the bioreactor is where the cooler temperatures are at.
Kind of more towards the ends? Mm-hmm.
The bottom.
When you take the temperatures of the reactors for all the different layers, what do you do with that information?
So we just chart this information down over roughly about a four-week basis, and we just monitor these and see how they're doing. And then after about 4 weeks, we don't need to monitor them as much because they've cooled down quite a bit.
And then what do you do with that data that you collect?
Well, we just graph it and we review it every so often to see what works and what doesn't work.
Why do you water the bioreactors?
To keep them moist. We don't want to dry them out. We want to keep all these microorganisms alive, and we want to keep it moist in there for them.
How many reactors do you guys have out here?
Ooh, we have quite a few. Let's see, 9, 18, roughly 30 reactors, I would say, just by looking over them. We move quite quickly. I remember at the very beginning of when I started, we had maybe 3 reactors, and I've been here a month or two, so, and we have about 30, so that's quite a leap.
Yes, that's a lot of hard work. What else can you tell me about bioreactors?
So these bioreactors are really low-tech process that can be easily replicated, and the materials are fairly cheap for how many you can make with the material you buy. So say you get like the $50 roll, you can probably make 10 reactors with that $50 roll.
Like a roll of like remesh or
something? Yeah. These bioreactors also reduce composting labor time by more than 50%. These don't produce any odors, and it doesn't contaminate the ground or the groundwater whatsoever. So they're very sustainable.
And so why does it reduce the labor time?
Traditionally, they would need to be constantly stirred to keep the airflow within them. And so with these ones, these are called static bioreactors because you don't need to do all of that turning. You have an inner chimney which allows it to breathe, and different layers on the outside that are fairly thin, so you have a lot of space where the air can go.
So the everything is close to air, so
yes,
you don't have to turn it.
Like it can all breathe, yeah.
Nice. Well, it seems like you still have plenty of work.
I do, yes, I do, yeah. I have to water all 30 bioreactors today.
Wow. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I am wondering, Sunny, are there any skills that you're learning with the New Earth Project that you think you might use in the future?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I have actually been thinking about building these in my backyard. They're super easy to build. They're super cheap to build. It's very few materials. And with those materials, you can make so many. And yeah, it's a real eye opener as to what these things can do.
Good. Well, thank you so much, Sunny. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Nan. Thank you.
I'm talking with Carol Ann Fugali, the executive director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and co-director of the New Earth Project. Hi, Carol Ann.
Hi, it's nice to be here, Nan.
Thanks. It's great to talk with you. I know the New Earth Project has many different facets. It's a climate mitigation program, waste reduction program, food security. It addresses education, youth empowerment. Can we talk about these different aspects of the project?
Right, Nan. So the project does encompass a lot of different areas. But I think before we really talk about that, I'd like to talk a little bit about environmental justice and really what that is and what that means to our project right now. Basically, you know, I think our listeners know that environmental justice really means the fair treatment of everybody, no matter our color, our origins, our socioeconomic status. It's the fair treatment of everybody, bringing them into the fold of making decisions about environmental law. Some of the positive effects of the environmental justice movement is everyone having access to clean drinking water, to clean air, to safe housing, to nutritious food, and even food that fits into their cultural traditions. And so the way that the UGWA Project fits into this is that we know that our world is vastly different now than it was when I was a teenager. And so the knowledge that is needed now is also different. The young people that are working with us right now are learning skills that I never learned when I was their age. And this will help them move forward in food security wherever they happen to end up.
So how is UGWA addressing justice issues specifically for the youth of our community?
When people say that the young people of today are going to have to solve our climate problem, that really doesn't sit well with me, because it's our responsibility. It's the adult responsibility. We have changed the earth so much in the last 50 years that we have to do everything that we can to make things easier for the youth to transition into their new life. And so I think for UGWA, what we are doing is we're offering good opportunities for the young people for learning these new skills of food security in our area. And we're paying them a really good wage, too, so that they know that the work that they're doing is valued. They learn so many other skills of the workforce and working together, showing up for work on time. Those are really good skills that are going to last their lifetime. But knowing about healthy soil and the importance of the compost is really important for them when they have their own gardens. But primarily, the New Earth Project is a carbon drawdown project. And so we can't lose sight of that. We're putting these microbes into the soil. They're helping the plants grow. And the plants work that magic through photosynthesis. And they draw that carbon down into the soil where it will stay for hundreds and thousands of years. And if this is done at scale globally, it really can have a significant impact on our climate situation right now. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're teaching the young people how to do these skills, and we're giving them the knowledge to learn this. And then we want to spread and replicate our project in other places throughout the state and also beyond.
The New Earth Kids radio show really is about youth empowerment. And I'm wondering, with the New Earth Project, what are your overall goals or your hopes for the youth in our community?
So I think we all know that in the last 50 years, we just have put too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and our situation really is quite dire. And so the climate crisis is not something that's going to happen in the future or decades down the road. It's happening right now, and there are a lot of people suffering around the world right now. And so I think that our program, my hope is that it will give our youth confidence that they actually can make a difference, that they have authority to speak out and to take action for their own lives. And I see this happening in their behavior, in their confidence level when they're working with us. And I really feel very strongly and very happy that we're able to give them this chance. So I think not only our project gives the youth confidence in their actions and the way that they're thinking, but they also know that we really care about them, and we really care about their future, and we want to do everything that we can to help them so that they're more comfortable and have a better life for themselves.
Thank you so much, Carol Ann, and thank you for all the incredible work that you do through the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and the New Earth Project.
Well, thank you, Nan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. We'd like to thank the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and their program, Thinking on a Mountain, for sponsoring this show. We would also like to recognize KURU General Manager Marcus Hansen for his ongoing support. May we all continue to listen, learn, and grow together. Bye now.